We are tracking H1N1, and health officials here in the U.S. saying it's too soon to know if a one-shot vaccine for the virus will actually be effective. The U.S. is working on an inoculation that requires two doses, although China and Switzerland recently announced they may have a one-dose version. We're told American officials will release their initial results from its vaccination studies and testing later this month. With me now, Dr. Kent Holthorst, who is an expert on infectious diseases. Doctor, thanks very much. We're going to put up on the screen the classic H1N1 symptoms, and I got this from the WHO and the CDC. If anybody exhibits these symptoms, what should they do? Should they go to the hospital? Should they see their doctor? What?
Well, the nice thing is it's showing that the H1N1 virus is losing its virulence. So we saw this as it came through Mexico. It lost its virulence in that the symptoms were much more mild. And that's what seems to be happening as it's making its way back through as a seasonal flu. So basically, the recommendations are same as the seasonal flu. If you have a continual fever for more than 3 hours, call your physician. If you have recurrence of fever after it goes away, if you have a high risk, including small children, consider calling your physician. Yeah. If you do have, let's say, a kid turns blue, has blue fingernails, go to the emergency room. But there's no difference between who to take to the emergency room or to the doctor versus a seasonal versus a swine flu. In fact, if you had to choose, you'd probably choose at this point the swine flu over the regular seasonal flu.
Is that right? All right. Now, what do you think of the vaccination?
You know, I have more concern about the vaccine than I do about the swine flu. It's been rushed to market. There are high levels of adjuncts, which basically make it more potent, make so they can. It's kind of an unrefined method that they use. They had to use these high levels of these adjuncts, including
thimerosal. It's an antiseptic preservative, and hasn't that been linked in some cases to autism?
It has, and you look, it's been shown to cause autism in children with mitochondrial dysfunction. Now, and other is controversial, though highly implicated. And the problem is you don't know if your child has mitochondrial dysfunction. I also worry about children and people who have blood-brain barrier dysfunction or it's not fully developed, which include children, pregnant women, chronic neurological illnesses, and chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Right. I've seen that people have been devastated by these infections.
Right, would you give it to your kids?
I definitely would not.
You would not. All right. And in fairness, I've talked to three doctors in 3 days now, and all three have said absolutely they would give it to their kids. They intend to give it to their kids. They're going to take it themselves. But you say no.
I definitely would not. I've seen it devastate people with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, highly implicated, again, in autism. I think you're rolling the dice. It's a proven neurotoxin, has 25,000 times the level of mercury than would be considered toxic if it was a food or a water.
Right.
And levels get up, serum levels up to 100 times the toxic level. It's too big of a risk.
All right. Dr. Kent Holthorst, an expert on infectious diseases. That's the other side. We've heard both sides now. Thank you so much.